All right, ready to dive into some ancient wisdom today?
Always.
Awesome. So we're cracking open 2 Samuel chapter 11. It's a story about King David. You know, strong leader, all that.
Yeah.
But this chapter, it's not about his victories. It's about a darker time. A time when he, well, messed up big time.
It's fascinating, isn't it, how these ancient texts, like, even though they're from so long ago, they can still speak to us now.
Totally. Like, temptation, power, betrayal.
Yeah.
Those are things we still deal with.
Absolutely. Human nature doesn't really change, does it?
Nope, not really.
So in the story, we find David back in Jerusalem. His army's off fighting a war.
Right.
But he's hanging back. And one evening, he's up on his rooftop, and he sees Bathsheba bathing.
And that's where the trouble starts.
Well, yeah. The text says he was captivated by her beauty. But it makes you wonder, was it just like a fleeting attraction or something more?
I mean, he was the king, right? He had the power to act on those feelings.
Exactly. He sends for her, and, well, they commit adultery.
And then Bathsheba gets pregnant.
Yeah. And instead of owning up to it, what does David do? He tries to cover the whole thing up.
And it's like he starts this chain reaction of bad decisions, one after the other.
Exactly. Like a slippery slope. He tries to trick her husband, Uriah. He's a soldier loyal to David, off fighting.
Oh, right.
So David tries to get him to sleep with Bathsheba, make it look like the baby's his.
Wow. Talk about trying to rewrite the narrative.
Yeah. But Uriah, he refuses. He's like, no way, my comrades are out there on the battlefield. I'm not going home. He's got this strong sense of duty.
It's amazing, really,
yeah.
That contrast between Uriah's loyalty and, well, everything David's doing.
Right. It's like a total clash of character.
So what happens next?
Well, David gets desperate. He ends up arranging for Uriah to be put on the front lines of the battle, basically sending him to die.
That is cold. A real abuse of power.
Yeah, it really highlights how power, if it's not used responsibly, can be really dangerous.
Makes you wonder, you know, do things like that still happen today? Maybe not as dramatic, but still.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
So Uriah's gone. Then David marries Bathsheba.
Right. But the chapter ends with this line. It's kind of chilling, actually. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord.
Whoa. Like, even though he tried to control everything, there were still consequences.
Exactly. This idea of accountability. Like, maybe you can hide things from other people, but you can't hide from, well, something bigger than yourself.
It's crazy how a story this old can feel so, I don't know, so current.
Right. Like, all that stuff about temptation and power and facing consequences, it's all still around us.
Big time. Like, this story is holding up a mirror. Makes you think about your own choices.
It totally does. I think that's why these ancient texts are still so powerful. They, like, tap into something universal.
Yeah, like a blueprint for human nature or something.
Totally. So what kind of timeless lessons do we see in this story?
Well, one thing that jumps out at me is the whole thing about David being idle. He stays back in Jerusalem while everyone else is off at war.
Hmm, that's interesting. You think that's what left him open to temptation?
Maybe. Like, if he'd been busy, focused on something else, maybe things would have gone differently.
It's like that saying, idle hands are the devil's workshop, right?
Exactly. I mean, think about it. When you've got too much free time, what do? You end up scrolling on your phone for hours or binge watching something you don't even care about.
Right. It's not even about being lazy. It's like that emptiness can lead you to make bad choices.
Totally. And then once you make that one bad choice, it could be hard to stop.
Yeah, we see that with David. The adultery, it was just the beginning. Then he tries to cover it up, and things just spiral out of control.
It's like that slippery slope. One bad decision leads to another, and another.
Exactly. It highlights how important it is to, I don't know, to think about the consequences of our actions, even the small ones.
Because even a small choice can snowball into something huge, right?
Absolutely. It's like a ripple effect.
Okay, so we've got idleness leading to bad choices. What else?
Well, there's the whole power dynamic thing. David uses his position as king to get what he wants, no matter who gets hurt.
Yeah, not cool. But unfortunately, it feels like something that still happens a lot.
Oh, for sure. Like, how do we make sure that people in power, whether it's in government or business or wherever, how do we make sure they use their power responsibly?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is. It's about recognizing that power comes with responsibility and about being accountable for how we use it.
It's also about calling people out when they abuse their power.
Right.
Not letting them get away with it.
Absolutely. Speaking of calling people out, there's this really interesting contrast in the story between David and Uriah.
Yeah, Uriah, Bathsheba's husband.
Right. He's like the opposite of David. He's got this incredible integrity. He's loyal to his fellow soldiers. He's got a strong sense of duty. He's not going to compromise his principles.
Even when David pressures him to.
Even then, it makes you think, what makes someone a person of integrity? Like, what qualities do they have?
I guess it's about having a strong moral compass, knowing what's right and wrong and sticking to it, even when it's hard.
Yeah, and having the courage to do the right thing, even when it's unpopular.
And being honest with yourself and with others.
Right. It all ties back to that idea of accountability, doesn't it? Like, true integrity requires you to be accountable for your actions.
To own your mistakes and try to make things right.
Exactly. It's about creating a space where it's okay to be vulnerable, to admit when you've messed up.
And to support each other in trying to do better.
I like that. Supporting each other. Because we all make mistakes, right?
Absolutely. Even the most admired people, the most successful people, they can all stumble.
That's a good reminder. Keeps us humble.
It's a good reminder for all of us, really. No one's perfect.
Nope. We all mess up sometimes.
So we've talked about a lot of heavy stuff. What are some of the key takeaways from this whole story?
Well, I think it shows how unchecked desires can lead to some really bad stuff.
Yeah, like a domino effect.
Right. And it also shows how dangerous it can be when people abuse their power.
Like David did with Uriah.
Exactly. But on the flip side, we see how important integrity is. Uriah, he stayed true to himself even when it was hard.
He's a good example to follow.
He is. And it all comes back to this idea of accountability, owning your mistakes, trying to make things right.
So how do we, like, actually apply all this to our lives?
That's the big question, right? I think it starts with being aware of those temptations, those desires that can lead us astray.
Right. And about being careful with how we use our power, whatever kind of power we have.
And it's about, you know, striving to be like Uriah, to have that integrity, that courage to do the right thing.
Even when it's tough.
Especially when it's tough.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into 2 Samuel chapter 11, here's something to think about.
Okay, I'm listening.
Knowing that even someone like King David, you know, a powerful leader, knowing that even he could make such huge mistakes.
Yeah.
How can we learn from that? How can we make better choices in our own lives?
That's a good one.
How can we build that integrity, that sense of accountability?
So we don't fall into those same traps.
Exactly. Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We hope you found it thought-provoking.
Yeah, me too. Always a good discussion.
Until next time.
Keep diving deep.